Easy Sports Talk Show podcast with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. I am Javon Adams, and that man on the other side of me, that is Ed Smith. We do this thing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tell a friend to tell a friend about what we have going on, and we'll let you know some of the other things that we do as well. But Ed Smith, he is not only, he played professional baseball, but also was on that first Super Bowl bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. He's also an author, and he's also a motivational speaker. How you doing, my brother? What's good?
What up, though, Jay? Made it to another Friday. First Sunday after the Super Bowl. First time we haven't had football. No, we didn't have football. Well, no, I guess we did have football during the bye week because of the Pro Bowl.
Flag football.
Flag football. So, yeah, it's that long sleep until September.
So I want to get into that, some of the aftermath of the Super Bowl, and some NBA stuff as well, and some maybe one or two little curveballs that I might throw your way. But let's get into this. I'll say that for a second. But so let's get into this. There's been some of the fallout here. Has been with the San Francisco 49ers, with Shanahan, that genius, that mad genius type of label. It seems like that facade is starting to crack a little bit, showing signs of need of repair. And this week yesterday, Steve Wilkes was fired. He was a defensive coordinator. He was only there for 1 year. What do you think about, do you think it was warranted? Because in my opinion, I don't think that defense was bad at all. I think they were the performance of the defense is one of the reasons that they were there in the Super Bowl to begin with. And then you take the fact that what the Super Bowl was, it had to go into overtime. So the defense was not, I don't think it was the reason why they lost that game per se, but maybe I'm looking at it differently. What are your thoughts about the kind of the aftermath and the fallout?
Well, I'm right there with you, 12-5 regular season. And we saw, at times, that defense was, there were times they looked dominant, but they looked good all through the season for the most part. Had some, hills, peaks and valleys, as most teams do. But as far as the Super Bowl, let's talk specifically. I mean, you held Patrick Mahomes to 3 points in the first half, and then you gave up one touchdown, which was after a muffed punt, and then they had 4 field goals. If you think about it, to get to overtime, you held them to 1 touchdown, 4 field goals, 19 points. And then, we all saw what happened in overtime, but I don't know. It just seems like they're looking for a scapegoat of some type. Yeah. And this might be just one of those situations where they didn't mesh personality-wise or something.
That's what it maybe seems like, because it didn't curl quite right, but it makes me think of you ever had a car, you ever like maybe rented a car, maybe there was maybe something, maybe you had a meal. The meal was fine. There was nothing bad about the meal, so to speak, but you say, it's not my choice. I mean, it's fine. I would eat it again, but I wouldn't necessarily come in and order this particular meal. So maybe it was something about just the little details, so to speak, that didn't line up quite right, possibly.
I like the meal analogy, and it's almost like you got a decent meal, right? But you looked around the table, and everybody else looked like they were just enjoying theirs just so much more. Their pasta had a little more sauce on it. You got the one that was dry, and your shrimp looked like they were just a little overcooked, and everybody else's food just looked so succulent and everything, when it was done, you were like, it was pretty good. But in the end, it was like everybody else was just like, oh, my God, that's the best meal I ever had. Was that a Ritz? No, that couldn't be a Ritz. That had to be it. And maybe, like personality-wise, like with a head coach, with some of these, like, assistants they have, they like them to be their buddy and stuff like that, because, they pop into rooms and they're there all day together and – they have spent so much time together and they want that dude that they can, talk about what's going on at home and, you want to grab a bite to eat. And then maybe they just didn't, like, Wilkes looks like a dude that's in there just to do his job,
man,
and get it done. And then I'm out.
And then I'm out. Or maybe remember the Chappelle Show skit where Obama going through the line and he was shaking everybody's hand. You ever see that one? And he's shaking everybody's hand. All these black dudes are giving them the soul handshake. And then he sees a white person. He's shakes their hand and does the, let me shake your hand a little bit business wise and keep it moving. And maybe that's how Wilkes is. He's, oh, what's up, bro? What's up? All right. How can I help you? Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can I do for you? Yeah, I'll get that right away. Yeah, for sure. We'll do that. All right, have a good one. Oh, man, so that was what I was saying, man. We about to get in these boys or something like that. Maybe it's that.
Yeah. That, I mean, that could, and I've seen the dynamic, you know. I've been around coaches that they, you know, they like their dudes. And, you know, he might have been just an outsider and didn't ever fit in, you know, because you got to remember, here's the other thing. In the last few years, they've lost Saleh, who was a defensive coordinator. They lost D'Amico Ryans. And those dudes seemed like they were like, yo, you know, really rah-rah and, you know, livening up the room and having fun. And then you get Wilkes, who's just, you know, and like I said, when you, you know, you spend enough time around each other and, you know, it's like he's the dude, you have the coaches meetings, right? And everybody's in there and everybody, you know, joking and everything. He comes in the room, everybody gets quiet and they're just like, you know, hey, you know, and then he gets up and leaves. And everybody jumps back to having fun and doing their thing, you know. And you know, in the end, it's just it's such a long season, such a long grind. And here's the thing: you're not just around each other during the off season or during the regular season. You got to spend time with these guys during the off season too, because you know OTAs and things start. You're planning for next year, the draft, the combines, you know, all kind of stuff. And it might just be one of those situations where his on field was okay, but it wasn't enough to overcome. And he's just not our type of dude around here, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, it's not a knock on Wilkes for the most part because I think he did a pretty good job. And, you know, it stinks. Yeah, it stinks.
But it's on his resume.
It's almost like they're blaming. Yeah, yeah. It's like it's almost like they're blaming him or it looks like they're blaming him when in reality, I mean, he did a really good job this year, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think so, too. That is, you bring up, especially when you talked about the two, because they were both within, right? Saleh and D'Amico, they were within, and they were promoted from within in that way. So you have Wilkes that's an outsider coming in, but that is true. They're both very, very emotional, very, very animated on the sidelines as opposed to Wilkes, who's much more reserved. Yeah.
And you know how it is, too, like, real quick, it's like when the other coaches are talking about Wilkes, man, he's not like D'Amico.
You know. That's true.
I miss Robert, man.
I think that's not. Maybe I'm the Wilkes of when I walk into certain rooms because people are. I'm so quiet and reserved. And then, you know, at certain times they hear me speak, and then they say, "Man, you speak." I know you got personality. I like to keep it buttoned up. I can't give it to y'all that way. But Easy Sports Talk Show, Ed Smith and Javon Adams. So. Before we go into the NBA topic, I want to, speaking of the kind of the aftermath of the Super Bowl, you kind of experienced that for when you went to the Super Bowl and all the stuff. What was it like afterwards, the week or two after the Super Bowl for you? I know that were you already thinking about what the next team that you were going to try to look at? What was it like for you?
Well, I think I told the story. I was coming down with the flu and actually played the game, the Super Bowl with the flu. We flew back to Atlanta and I actually missed our parade. You know, speaking of parades, you know, thoughts and prayers to everybody in Kansas City. You know, one person lost their lives, a lot of people, in pain up there. Senseless shooting, tragic, you know, but, you know, tell my story. I actually missed the parade because I was so sick when we got back from Miami. They were like, look, we had a separate bus. We're putting you on it. Go back to the facility. My truck was parked back there. Went back, got my truck, went back to my apartment, bro. I'm sitting there watching the parade. And, you know, everybody's had the flu before. And I'm talking like not just – I was like – I mean, I was out. And I remember making it up, all my luggage and everything, get up to my apartment, and I'm laying in the bed watching my team at the parade. And it was miserable. It was raining, overcast, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I was like, wow, that would have been my one chance to, you know, be on one of the floats and stuff like that. But what happened was after that, it was immediately like the following day, we had our exit interviews. And because Coach Reeves had triple bypass or quadruple bypass, what it was, they were like, we don't think it's cool for you to be around him. So I had to do my exit interview with my position coach because they actually had to call me. They were like, hey, can you get in there? And I was like, I didn't think I could even make it to the facility. Like, you got to come and so you can do. So I got out of bed, went in. You know, trainers gave me all kinds of stuff. You know, I had my position coach exit interview. And then, you know, great season ahead. We'll see you next year. I'd actually signed an extension, went back home, and I thought it was, I was comfortable. You know, it was one of those things where, but then, you know, you sit around, like the week following was miserable in terms of not just being sick, but thinking about replaying what we had just almost accomplished, but came up short. And then, you know, you got to watch Broncos with their celebration, you know, parade and all that kind of stuff. It was a miserable, dark period for about a week or so. And then, you know, you get back to just living life, you know. And, you know, and then everybody who wanted tickets and all that kind of stuff. It's funny how the phone didn't ring when I got back from Miami. It was like, I was like, wow, you know, not so many messages when I got back from after losing a Super Bowl instead of when I was going to a Super Bowl. But, you know, it was real quiet, man. The offseason started. Eventually, I ended up opting out of my contract because they had drafted a tight end later in it when the draft came. And that whole, that's a whole different story. But, yeah, it was just one of those things, man. It was over, and it was back to regular life. And it was real sad for a little bit of time, though.
Okay.
I did take a cruise, though. I went on a cruise after I was well enough. Yeah, I went on a cruise for a week, got out, you know, and just, you know, I healed.
Easy Sports Talk Show, Ed Smith and Javon Adams. So in the NBA, we'll touch on this briefly. It was leaked that the Golden State Warriors attempted to try to get to convince LeBron to accept a trade from the Lakers to the Golden State Warriors. And apparently LeBron, everybody, no trade took place. So of course it didn't happen. But the question I have to you is, should LeBron have decided to accept the trade? I'll go first. I say no, because how dare, for one, right now, I believe the Lakers have a better record than Golden State, but that's whatever, that be that as it may. If he did go to Golden State and he did win the championship, he would catch so much hell. It's different when you have people come to you to try to build a squad, and then we win it here because I'm anchored here and surround me with talent. Now you're the one being traded to surround somebody else. You're the talent that's surrounding somebody else. I think that's different. So I don't think it would have been a good idea for him to accept that trade just from the optics. And I don't really know how well, the Golden State Warriors are positioned moving forward for the next year, for this year and next year, to be able to make a deep run because of some of their aging assets.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we saw how much grief Kevin Durant takes just because, you know, his he went up there and joined them. It was almost like, well, he had to go up there to join a team to make a run for a title. I don't think LeBron won. That's not his style. You know, he wants everybody to come to him for one. Mm-hmm. And it would almost be insulting for him because he wouldn't be first fiddle up there. He wouldn't be the big, you know, the biggest story. And I'm glad he stayed where he was, because I wouldn't have wanted to see that anyway. Yeah. And personally, I don't know unless something drastically changes, I don't know if we're going to see LeBron win another title. I don't think so either.
Now, you know, I'm a Laker fan, and I don't see it. I don't see it.
Unless they do something, this year is a wash for me. They have little spurts, and I know this is your team. They have spurts when they can play well, but can you go into a 7-game series and say that LeBron, because we all know AD can fade on you and stuff like that, so they have enough of talent around them to go into somebody else's, but they might win a series. We're talking about going into Denver or some of these other Western, you know, these young legs for a 7-game series. I would even say like Oklahoma City and Minnesota. You're not going into a series with some of those teams. We've seen LeBron. He can give you a spurt now. Bro, you know what it's like? That you playing the game on PlayStation, that turbo button.
Yeah.
You get it, you push it, and it's like, but it goes so fast and only lasts so long. And he doesn't have multiple turbo buttons in a series these days. You can get one game, maybe two, but they're not winning seven-game series. We know how long the playoffs are in the NBA. They're going to have trouble just getting through the last half of this or three quarters, 33rd percent of this season anyway to get to the playoffs. They're currently in a play-in situation. They could possibly not even make the playoffs. So I don't see it, and I'm glad he said where he was because I wouldn't have wanted to see the spectacle that would have been. And I, like I said, I don't think that's his style.
Indeed, indeed. So he is Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. We do this thing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tell a friend about what we have going on. And speaking of what we have going on, we have go to EZSportsTalk.com, EZSportsTalk.com. You can go and follow us on YouTube, subscribe, all that good stuff at the EZ Sports Talk Show. And we also, every Saturday, we have our terrestrial radio show 1 to 3 Eastern on SportsMap Radio. You can go to sportsmapradio.com in the upper right corner. Click on that play icon if you're not in one of the 98 markets that we're in. And you can also download their app for your mobile or Android device and keep us in your pocket as you jump in and out of the show. And then we also have the Believe in the Arizona Cardinals podcast. And that'll be coming back next week. We're going to be breaking down in terms of the needs for the Arizona Cardinals. So, again, that's Believe in the Arizona Cardinals, BLEAV in the Arizona Cardinals. And so on behalf of Ed Smith, I am Javon Adams. And until next time, you can.